Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hello and welcome to Nothing Concrete, the Barbican podcast. I'm Ben Eshmaid, and this week we're reaching into our archive to look at Barry Jenkins' romantic drama If Beale Street Could Talk, when in January 2018 we spoke to actor Regina King.
I've been likening it to a visual symphony. The way the camera was moving over Tish and Fonny as they were walking, and the greens swell and the color, music. The swell of the music. And when you're watching it in the theater, that music is surrounding you.
Let's set the scene. In 1970s Harlem, Tish and Fonny dream and love big, but fate has other plans.
I hope that nobody has ever had to look at anybody they love through glass.
Regina King, as an actor, has made her mark through an incredible, hard-working career. Her first film role was in the groundbreaking teen drama Boys in the Hood. But for me, it's her roles on the small screen which have made an impression, including The Leftovers, 7 Seconds, Southland, and maybe the greatest cosmic love story of all time in Watchmen.
This is a sacrament. And no, I ain't lost my mind. We are drinking to new life. Tish gonna have Fonny's baby.
This was director Barry Jenkins' follow-up to breakthrough Oscar-winning film Moonlight. So back in 2018, I met up with Regina King to talk about her role in If Beale Street Could Talk.
This really is a film where every part of the creative process shines. The acting, script, cinematography, directing, costumes, everyone made a difference. What did you think when you first saw it all the way through?
Oh my gosh. Well, first of all, I normally don't watch myself in things. I don't like to watch myself, but the producers were like, you have to see this film. Not for you. You just have to see this film. And first 5 minutes into the film, I started getting really emotional. And I was like, oh my God, why is this happening already? And I think because of all of the things you just mentioned, you know, it's, I've been likening it to a visual symphony. You know, the way the camera was moving over Tish and Fonny as they were walking, and the greens,
swell
and the color,
music.
The swell of the music. And when you're watching it in the theater, that music is surrounding you. And then the camera lands on Tish's face and she's looking at Fonny with so much love.
Yeah.
I just was filled with so much emotion and was ready, like, it just pulled me in, and I think that's what it does throughout. And there are just so many moments that are quiet, and we don't get to see quiet films too often anymore. And when we do, they're usually not interesting, or you know what I mean? They're not entertaining.
Yeah.
And that Barry Jenkins was able to find ways for the audience to just sit with the characters and allow the audience to emote with the characters. And it was just fantastic. What he, James Laxton, the cinematographer, I'm of the trio of Barry, Nicholas, and James is just, you know, we I feel like as an audience member, we've got a treat.
You all right?
Me? I'm not the one who just got punched by a midget inside their belly.
And do you sort of, as a director and a writer and a producer as well, I mean, do you look at them and magpie-like and see what they're doing and see if you could take something or be inspired by them?
Sure. I think we're always, I mean, as an artist, you're always pulling for you're finding inspiration in everything, whether it's a photograph to an experience with someone. With Barry, he's just like a walking lesson. You know, like some people that are so smart, you're just always like, oh, here they go. You're just, when you're with Barry, you want to hear him talk. Mm. You want to know his opinion about something because he's such a kind person as well. So you know his opinion is not colored with any malice or any negativity. Mm. I always feel like I leave my moments with Barry as a better person.
And the combination of James Baldwin and Barry Jenkins, I get the impression that the director is very thoughtful, thinks through things, thinks mm-hmm. about language. And so it's a great marriage.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's what attracted me. The combination of James Baldwin and Barry Jenkins is what attracted me to want to do the film. I've been saying that James Baldwin birthed the baby and Barry raised the baby.
The mother that you play to Tish and the family that you help sort of create, it's such a beautiful role. And I would have thought a lot of the times when you see a mother part or written within a script or a television show, it can be weak and stereotypical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it starts again with what Baldwin, his writing. In the book, Sharon, I think, is multidimensional. Mm-hmm. And Barry just did a beautiful job of pulling that out even more and pulling it out and condensing it, because in the book, Baldwin takes 2 or 3 pages with some of his descriptions, which as a reader is lovely, but you can't do that in a film.
And Kiki Layne, this was her first role. Yeah. And I read she still refers to you as her mama.
Yeah, yes, she does. And I feel like she's the daughter that I'll never have, you know. She just impresses me so much because I feel like it's very common for young artists to be so interested in the celebrity of mm-hmm. it all. And she is so excited about expressing her art. And it's just contagious. And, you know, a lot of people ask, well, is there anything that you taught Kiki? I'm sure that would be more of a question that you would have to ask Kiki, because I feel like with every experience that I've had in my life on any set, I feel like I walk away having learned something about myself, mm-hmm. having learned something about art form, having learned something about technical things, whatever. Kiki just came ready and she was professional, and I feel like I see her doing a bit of the same, being a sponge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fonny's mother didn't like me. She just didn't think I was good enough for Fonny, which really means that she didn't think I was good enough for her. And in another way, she felt that I was maybe just exactly what Fonny deserved.
And that's the power of it for her and for you. You could relate to these characters, perhaps more so than others you've played.
Absolutely. One, being a mom, you know, having a mother and a grandmother who are women that embodies a lot of the same qualities that Sharon has. So it was, you know, I was able to tap into those things that I felt as a daughter about my mother. And Kiki, I think, feels the same about her mother. And then, you know, when you ask every single one of us, we all have very strong relationships with our mothers, and some of us very tight relationships with our fathers, Coleman and Stefan. You know, I know their fathers are really big in their lives, because I've gotten to meet Stefan's father, which was very cool when we were in Toronto. But we, all of us, came from supportive families, so we know that from an experiential place.
Speaking of Coleman, who plays Joseph, your husband in the film, there's something about him. I mean, maybe it's the voice, maybe it's the personality. He doesn't say a lot, but yeah. I instantly love him.
Yes, you do. He's so, he's so cool. He's so darn cool. And I always say, you're so sophisticated. You know, he's one of my favorite people to be around. We spent New Year's together, and he has that I'm every man thing. You know, like our Chaka Khan's I'm every woman song, Komen's I'm every man, you know.
The way he reacts to the pregnancy, though, is again, it just felt fresh and different.
Yeah, and I think that that's the beautiful thing about the Rivers family, that you get the feeling that Joe and Sharon, they've created a home where there's no shame.
Mm.
And you feel that, you know, when you just see the way they rally around this young couple.
That child is coming. It's your grandchild. I don't understand you. It's your grandchild. What difference does it make how he gets here? The child ain't got nothing to do with that. Ain't none of us got nothing to do with that.
Your character does have a bit of action, sort of goes to Puerto Rico and tries to, this is the job you would normally see of a detective or kind of the person trying to solve the crime. But it's a tough journey for her.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think so much that it was like trying to solve the crime. I think the way I interpret it is that Sharon is the matriarch. She's the person in the family that she solves everything. She fixes everything. And she knows that she's known for that, but she is terrified with the fix it that she has right now. So she's going because she knows that everyone believes if anyone can fix it, it's her. So that's what she's got to do. And I think that this is one of the layers that you get to see with Sharon, that a moment where she's terrified. And for those who watch the movie to see how it works out.
Yeah.
But
and the scene where you're wearing the wig as well, or adjusting the wig, and she's
that's where you said, to me, I felt like that was, you're seeing her fears, you're seeing she doesn't have, we felt, Komen and I, as we were building these characters, that Joe and Sharon lean on each other a lot. Sometimes it's weighing more on Joe, sometimes the responsibilities are weighing more on Sharon, but they are definitely a partnership. And here she is, thousands of miles away without her partner. What does that look like? And anyone, I think, that is of adult age, and I think even some kids have felt this, where you want to just break down, but you can't. So you suck it all in, and most of us know what that feels like, and that's what that moment was for Sharon.
With Fonny, who we have mentioned, obviously, it's someone that we don't see a lot of except in flashbacks, because he's obviously in prison. This injustice that's happened to him, this terrible sort of like accusations and that process, it's interesting in the sense that it's nothing that's kind of can be done about it. I think that's a frustration, but it's obviously Barry and the writing there to make sure that doesn't overwhelm the film. The anger is calm or steady? How would you describe it?
I guess quiet is that's the word that I keep using. But Barry was very smart, and because there's some scenes that he removed that we actually shot and shot a different ending because to do exactly what you're saying, so that there wasn't we're not left with this feeling of hate at the end of the movie, you know, because at the end of the day, especially when you think about the Black American experience, that it's amazing to realize all we've overcome to be where we are. And this film is not only a representation of the survival of the Black American, the Black man, but also the universal theme of when faced with trauma, it's usually love that gets you on the other side. And that's not a Black story. That's a universal story. And I mean, and I think that it's, you know, anyone who's read any of Baldwin's essays, you know, you definitely know, you can hear in his words how much he loved America, even though he felt like America didn't love him, didn't love us, you know, but
he was out of time.
And he's been a voice. He's speaking from the grave, you know.
And does a character like Sharon stay with you? I mean, that's the beauty of the film, or the thing for the film is I walked out and I can, even now, I can feel it in a sort of, what do they call it, synesthesia kind of way. I can feel the film. I can feel you're still there looking after the child.
I don't know if Sharon stayed with me, but the film definitely just, I mean, I've only seen it once and I thought about it, that film, every day for like 3 weeks just because just what it there was, I got the chills. Yeah, there were so many things that I was feeling, you know, so many emotions at once. And I think that's quite powerful.
You ready for this?
I've never been more ready for anything in my whole life.
As with all good interviews, I would have wished for extra time to learn more about Regina King. She was extremely kind and engaging with her answers, as hopefully you heard. I'm Ben Eshmade. Thanks for listening to this archive edition of Nothing Concrete, the Barbican podcast. We're here hopefully to inspire more people to discover and love the arts with weekly episodes of archive finds and theme series. Subscribe to Nothing Concrete on Acast, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts. And if you can, leave us a review to help us get the word out.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.